The expectation that President Trump will nominate Amy Coney Barrett, a devout Catholic, for a seat on the SCOTUS later this week has revived a good bit of old-fashioned anti-Catholicism, as left-wing feminists warn that this mother of seven will usher us into the Handmaid's Tale. Against this backdrop, the president himself delivered an address at Wednesday's National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, a nonpartisan event held annually since 2004, and Attorney General William Barr delivered extensive remarks on accepting the breakfast's Christo Fidelis Laici Award. I think that would mean, if I know a little bit of Latin there, most faithful lay person to Christ, or faithful lay person to Christ. The most notable detail of Trump's speech was his announcement of now Barrett talked about this yesterday, I didn't get it in the program, of a Born Alive executive order, which he did sign 2 days ago, which will ensure that, quote, all babies born alive, no matter their circumstances, will receive the medical care they deserve, close quote. The president described this as our sacrosanct moral duty, and also announced his intention to increase funding for neonatal research. It's a clear attempt to remind Catholic voters of what has long been Trump's primary appeal to people of faith, a consistent pro-life rhetoric. Now, it isn't just pro-life rhetoric. The executive order says it's not rhetoric. Declan Leary, by definition, signing an executive order means putting something, executing something. That's not rhetoric. I get so sick and tired of these people that he said that. No, he doesn't just say it. He actually does it. Now, if we fast forward to the end of the piece here, we'll find this. Barr's critics are sure to denounce these remarks as threatening to some. What did Barr say? Citing such diverse historical figures as John Adams and Justice William O. Douglas, an FDR appointee, Barr made a compelling case for America as a historically and inherently religious nation. And reminded the breakfast's virtual attendees that America's freedoms rely first on American virtues. The message was clear. A secular people, and if we have not become one, we are well on our way, cannot long maintain the American experiment. Barr's call to restore public religion was echoed by Los Angeles Auxiliary Bishop Robert Barron. Sure it was. Barr's critics are sure to denounce these remarks as threatening to some conception of the separation of church and state. See Wisdom Wednesday episode number, I don't know the number, but Brother Andre Marie and I talked about separation of church and state and demolished it. It does not and cannot exist. And if it does, then there is no church. Understand this. If you actually get a true separation of church and state, then you won't have church. And the church will have gone underground. Catacombs, dude. Catacombs. Okay? Just as they did immediately following the Notre Dame speech, and just as they have already begun to do in attacks on Amy Coney Barrett. But this too is a consequence of our national crisis of faith, as Barr sees it. Our fear of religion as anything more than a private devotion has caused us to redefine separation of church and state as a wholesale banishment of faith from civic life. That's, folks, just a quick sidebar here, and I'll get to the conclusion. That's why you are or are not a Crusader Knight. When you go to my website at mikechurch.com and you click that tab at the top of the page, and then you read what a Crusader is, Knight is, what he does and does not do. I think it's just important what we do not do. And you say, all right, King Dude, here's my email address and name. I'm in. Then you agree to those five daily devotions and intentions. I actually should come out with a new one for October the 7th. But when you agree to become a crusader knight, you agree to defend the good, the true, and the beautiful, and you agree also to your very last dying breath to be that knight that is filled and executes and acts chivalrously. If a crusader, I'm gonna play a clip from Tucker Carlson in a minute here. If you had been in attendance at that football game two nights ago in Ohio, where that woman was beaten and then tasered, a crusader knight would have taken that cop out. By the way, we now find out he's not a cop. He was a school resource officer, they called him. What does that mean?
That means he's just a bona fide a teacher. He's a babysitter, and he roams the halls. He doesn't actually teach anything. He just roams the halls.
Right, but somehow he thought he had the authority to do what he did. I hope he gets sued. He has to make restitution for what he did to that woman. He's got to make reparations. And he should be as publicly excoriated and embarrassed as he tried to make her. In any event, a crusader knight would have stopped that. It would have intervened, and it would have been he who would have been arrested. Hey, fat boy, you want to arrest someone for not wearing a mask? I haven't had one on since I've been here. Get your hands off that woman and take me. The piece concludes, Trump and Barr addressed National Catholic Prayer Breakfast from yesterday. In the Attorney General's words, this is a quote, and I think it's worthy of repeating, quote, militant secularists have long seized on that slogan as a facile justification for attempting to drive religion from the public square and to exclude religious people from bringing religious perspectives to bear on conversations about the common good. Close quote. So that's the Attorney General of the United States saying, I don't view separation of church and state like you people view it. 844-527-8722. Three. So, let's go to the flesh this out a little bit and about what is really going on out there. Here we go. So, this is last night from Tucker Carlson on Fox. He talked about this story, and then he brought Alex Berenson in. I think this has everything to do with this SCOTUS pick coming up. And again, Remember, October the 7th, Feast of Our Lady of Victory, Father Ian Bozant's call for Trump to consecrate the United States to the Blessed Virgin Mary. All the other things that we've been talking about. Remember the pieces on the chessboard? All the elements are there for the Mary and Blue guys to take the Hillary Red guys and banish him back to hell. Here's Tucker.
It didn't. It took place in Ohio just recently. A school resource officer tasered and then handcuffed a woman who was watching her son's middle school football game. It happened Wednesday night in Logan, Ohio. Her crime? She wasn't wearing a mask outside. This footage is awful. And the lack of response from the people sitting near this woman as she's tasered is even worse. But we're going to show it to you anyway because this is what's happening in our country. Watch this.
Dude sitting there just watching this, dude, by the way. He's tasing her.
Tase somebody over a mask. Tasing this lady over not wearing a damn mask. Arresting her for not wearing a mask.
Where's
he even got one on.
Right. Hey, where's your mask?
This video is sick, by the way.
We've done this how many times together?
They tased a woman at her son's outdoor football game. Some of the resource officers who ran up weren't wearing masks themselves. And none of the men sitting there did anything about it. It's shocking. Then the Marietta City Schools athletic director, a man called Cody Venderlich, said that he was, quote, saddened that the mother didn't, quote, behave. What country is this? Well, it's the same country where you'll find Moscow, Idaho. On Wednesday in Moscow, Idaho, three Christians were arrested for singing psalms outdoors. Again, not Moscow in the Soviet Union, Moscow, Idaho. Watch.
Maggie, you have this audio, right? Isn't that the one that you have of the guy being arrested? I'm just asking. These guys are being handcuffed.
You guys should not be doing this and doing this kind of crap for the mayor. This is embarrassing.
Well,
the guy knew the cop.
And the saddest part is many people are moving to Idaho precisely to get away from that kind of authoritarian insanity. But apparently you can't escape it. Alex Berenson is one of the people in this country most fluent in the science behind this disease and our response to it. He's the author of Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns Part 2. We're happy to have him on tonight. Alex, thanks for coming out. I'm not going to ask you to comment on the social forces involved here. I want you to explain to our audience the science behind this. Is there justification for arresting a woman sitting with her family outdoors not wearing a mask?
No, of course there is not.
Thank you.
Masks are at best marginally useful indoors in crowded settings, okay? And the evidence that people have tried to drum up in the last 6 months to suggest otherwise is almost embarrassingly weak. Okay, there's an open label study, essentially a study with no control arm that was done on Massachusetts healthcare workers a few months ago. And it showed that after these people were told to wear masks, infection rates went down in Massachusetts. Guess what? Infection rates went down in Massachusetts overall too, okay? So that means nothing. There's a couple of, studies. There's a study from a Starbucks in South Korea. There's a study of a couple of hairdressers in Missouri. It's a joke. The best evidence before this pandemic started, before March, which is when the science was not politicized, suggests that masks were broadly useless in the general population. To the extent they were useful, it would be for people who were actively infected and coughing. And to the extent that that made any difference, it was probably just as a signaling mechanism to show people, step away from me, I'm sick. Okay, so the evidence here is just beyond weak. What's happened, Tucker, is that masks have become a talisman. Okay, masks have become something that we use to show we're serious about this, and this is a problem, and lots of people are dying, and we're going to do something about it, and we can't do lockdowns anymore. I mean, even the Democratic governors have dropped lockdowns because they're so economically devastating. So they have to tell people to do something, and they tell them to wear masks. And the social pressure, I do want to talk about the social pressure a little bit because I think it's very important. A few weeks ago, I was in Walmart with my son, who's four. Okay, a four-year-old is essentially at 0.000 risk of anything happening with coronavirus. Little kids don't spread the coronavirus. He was not wearing a mask. I don't like him to wear a mask, although he's unfortunately had to wear one now that he goes to school. And a woman came up to me and she said, "Your son's not wearing a mask." And I said, "I know. He doesn't like them." And she said, "I'm going to go get a police officer." And she did. There was a police officer at the Walmart. Okay, so what do? I don't argue with the police. I tell him, tell my son to put on a mask. He puts it on. This is the sort of social pressure that we're engaged in right now, and it has real consequences.
All right, Alex, tell the police officer, go pound sand. No, I am not going to commit a sin against reason against a four-year-old. You just said that there's no benefit. What he didn't talk about is there a danger? And yes, there is. You know, you got to go online and look at some of the cultures, the pictures of people. I can't pictures. Some people that have gone like, I know how to do a Petri dish. I'm going to put my mask in a Petri dish. And we're going to come back in 3 or 4 days and see what happens. Have you seen it?
I was called a COVID plague rat yesterday.
A COVID plague rat.
Yes, and was told that I should be treated as such because I'm spreading lies about mask being not healthy and this, that, and the other, and that I should be treated as such. Yeah.
So basically what you now have here is the cult and the religion of the Mascarons. Now, if someone can be easily coerced into doing that, what else can they be coerced into doing? You know, the video that Schaefer put in the chat room yesterday of the people standing up because the tone went off, even though there was no reason to stand up, they just went, oh, okay, well, everyone else is standing up. I guess I'm going to stand up. Bell went off, I'll stand up. It's just a powerful reminder that we live in a world of sheeple. Yeah, it's a masquerade. We live in a world of sheeple. Well, let's go back to the Supreme Court and this SCOTUS pick and all of these events. Again, the chessboard. It's a good visual to just see X's and O's, enemy and friend, friend, foe, ally, enemy combatant, if you will, demon, angel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The people that are refusing, that woman that was arrested, those other people, you know, going out in public and singing, people like some of that you see in our chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat, and then others that say, I won't do it. I'm not wearing one, and you're not going to make me wear one. As I said on yesterday's show, and I'll say it again, someday those people are going to be the Minutemen at Lexington and Concord. There were dragoons, that's the cops, coming over the bridge. We went to the armory. We prayed up. That's where you get our bullets in prayer. And we tried to hold the bridge. They slapped handcuffs on us and arrested us. What is that supposed to do, by the by? I'm waiting for one of these detainments to result in someone actually being strapped to a gurney and then having the face diaper applied to their face when there's nothing they can do about it because their hands are actually and their feet are bound and gagged.